We're back to the book of Colossians, kind of stuttering through the thing. We've had some divine interruptions, but we're going to go back there. We're in Colossians chapter 3 this morning. In Colossians 3, beginning in verse 5, if you'll allow me, I'll read from the New King James Version, verse 5 to 11. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. Paul's the kind of guy that just never quits, man. He just keeps hammering away at what the Spirit of the Lord is telling us. And there's a method to Paul's madness. It's because his desire is that God works his fullness through us. Come on, someone. Yes. That we completely get out of the way. Saying that I love, I think it was Andrew Murray who in his book on prayer coined, if I am something, God cannot be everything and cannot work his fullness in me. But if I am nothing, God can be everything and he will work his fullness through me. God is asking that we die completely, that we reach a point where we're zero with the rim kicked off. Jesus said, I'm nothing, I can do nothing unless the Father tells me. And then he told his disciples, you can't do anything without me. So Paul is now beginning to press down on some issues that really are germane to today, because we live in a atmosphere where everything is right at the surface. People get offended so easy. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were saying that people get offended, and not only are they offended, they're vocal about their offense. They want everybody to know that they're hurt, that they're in pain. Well, how many know we don't have any rights of our own? Our rights were given at the cross. Yes. It's not popular. It's not a thing that we like to talk about much. But we have no rights, zero rights. And to the extent that we hurt whenever somebody supersedes our rights, we get all defensive about it. Come on, somebody. Bible tells us opposite. John Newton said, when people are right with God, they are apt to be hard on themselves and easy on other people. But when they are not right with God, they are easy on themselves and hard on others. So Paul says to put to death, and my first question is, how do you put to death that which is already dead? So you'll look up with me in verse 3 says, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so if that's a fact, if that is indeed what happened to us, you and I, we died with Christ, then what are we putting to death? The works of the flesh. We are asked to do what God cannot do. Come on, somebody. God can do anything, but he will not supersede our will and come kill things in us that are still alive through the flesh. We are programmed from birth in the ways of the world. And we react to things and walk through things just like we always have. So it would belie the fact that we are a new creation. But indeed, by faith, we are a new creation. we find that what we learned throughout our life and what is true is at war. The Bible puts it this way: the flesh wars against the spirit against the flesh. We're bound to stop the fleshly reactions and attitudes that plague us sometimes. Now, understand, the sin nature was nailed to the cross. Our sin nature was nailed to the cross. If we have to fight that nature, we're going to lose every time. So I want us to stay focused on the fact that indeed we are dead, but there is a flesh to deal with. What was impossible as a sinner now is achievable as a Christian. Amen. We have heaven backing us with the authority of Christ as our weapon. And so Paul speaks to the flesh or our body, and it's worked out in the five senses: sight, hearing, smell, touch, and taste. All of these are in the process of purity or sanctification. And when we come headlong into that temptation, we have the authority to overcome the temptation, so it does not transfer into sin. Come on, somebody. If we don't cut it off at the temptation part, we partake in sin. Then we've got some other problems. Come on, someone. I don't know about you, but my five senses sometimes are right at the surface. Am I talking to the right people? We are commanded to put our members to death. This means to render them inoperable, to put them under the power of our spirit. It does not mean that we will not have sight, hearing, smell, touch, and taste. Then we'd be in bad shape. We're always going to have those five senses, but they serve us. We do not serve them. Smell is one that I get in trouble with. Man, I love the smell of good, good food. Why is it that food that's bad for you smells the best? Come on, someone. I mean, salad is good for you, but you got to stick your nose in it to smell it. Am I telling the truth? Come on. How many know sometimes smell... we serve smell. As soon as it smells, man, we're there. We don't care. What diet? But see, we're called, these are sins of the flesh that we are, you and I, to overcome. And then Paul begins to list in this passage, he lists the sins that we are to overcome. And he says, in verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Fornication uses sight, hearing, and touch. We've got to get that under control. And we live in a world of fornication is lifted to a place of desire. Secondly, he says uncleanness. All five of our senses in uncleanness: sight, hearing, smell, touch, taste. Uncleanness covers a whole raft of things. We're supposed to have our bodies under control. We're supposed to have our soul under control, our mind under control, our sight under control. David says, I'll set nothing evil before my eyes. Come on, somebody. Every one of us has something evil in our home. Some is 36 inch, some are 40 some inch, and then the 55 inch, and then the 70 inch, It's evil. Come on, somebody. Let's just be honest. We have to know how to control that. may take murdering it. We had kids at home. I murdered the TV. Took it out in a dump and hit it with a baseball bat. There was another time we had one of those big old models, you know, those floor models that had the thing around the top where you could set all your fancy stuff. You know what I'm talking about? The big TV, console TV. And so we were praying it as a family, and it became something that we ran to. So we took it, put it in the closet. There was a big pole in the closet, and we chained that puppy to the closet. I mean, we took a big chain, chained it, locked it. 6 months we were without that thing. Man, the first 2 weeks, how many know, my kids were not happy. They were 8 and 6, and man, oh day. They did not like that at all. But when we felt it was under control, then we unlocked it. Come on, somebody. See, this isn't an easy thing that we've been called to, but it is a victorious thing that we've been called to. Uncleanness covers a whole gamut of things. Put to death uncleanness in your life. That means things that are you know God wouldn't want you to do, put to death. It says passion. That's sight, hearing, and touch. Our minds go right away maybe to a sexual thing, but it's passion. Something that overrides your love for God. Passion for whatever you have. Put that thing to death. Covetousness. There's sight and hearing. I just had to fight that thing this week. I'm using my own examples. I'm sorry. I ran across 3 people that had the Apple Watch. Not 1, 2, but 3. And all 3 were bragging on the Apple Watch. Man, I wanted that thing so bad. I came home and told Terry, what's coming up? Christmas. Could I have an early Christmas gift? I want an Apple Watch. And the old ones, see, they have the Apple Watch 3 that's on sale. So it's available in certain areas. But we have some other things that we've got to, how many know? I'm coveting something that God doesn't want me to have. I have a perfectly good watch my daughter bought me for Christmas. So I'm fine with watches. But this one's really nice, man. You can talk into it and get all your texts and stuff. Jesus' name, I tell you. Now, here's what the scripture says in the next verse. Watch what it says. Now, this is dangerous stuff because how many know when the wrath of God is turned on, we better get out of the way. It says, because of these things, because of what things? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, covetousness. The wrath of God is coming upon, watch, the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But he's talking about saved people. You can't disobey if you don't know what to obey. You and I know the right way to go. The wrath of God comes on those who have turned from the truth. A couple of verses that I'd like you to look at. Romans 1:18. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 1:18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1:18. We don't have it up on the screen at all. There it is. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And so the temptation is for us to suppress the truth. Many times we get away from God, and because we're not keeping up on our relationship with the Lord, we push the envelope as far as it will go. Not quite in willful sin, but we kind of dabble in sin. Come on, somebody. The wrath of God is revealed, Scripture says, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness for those who suppress the truth. We know the truth, but we're not doing it. Ephesians chapter 5. Turn over to Ephesians 5. In verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. There it is again, sons of disobedience. Then finally in 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. You can't be a Christian and not be a child of God. This is accursed children, people that used to walk with God that are now no longer walking with God. We have to be careful. Our senses must be keen against the temptation to compromise. Once we begin to compromise and slip, that can only lead to trouble. I've always said, give the devil an inch, he'll take your life. When we desensitize ourselves against sin, it becomes a road that many take where there are few U-turns. Come on, someone. Anybody ever missed a turn and you just keep driving down four lane and there's never a U-turn for miles? Finally, you hit a U-turn and just, you know, half an hour out of your way. There's no U-turn sometimes, very few U-turns, and repentance comes harder and harder when we compromise. Paul is saying that we've got to give all of that to the Lord and take into account his power to kill these things in us. Then he moves on to some personal things. Personal things. He says, we walked in them at one time. And then he says in verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Anger, wrath, and malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You know, as free Americans, we like to boast about our freedoms, as if our personal rights supersede the rights of others. They don't. The very essence of the kingdom is we're here to serve others. I don't live my life for what pleases me. I live my life for what pleases my brothers and sisters. Come on. A lot of us have difficulty in areas of our life to be able to do that because, after all, we're told we're free. People don't understand that a lot of things that they do here in the United States, if they were overseas in another country or in a country that has, that's a kingdom instead of a democracy, they'd be in jail or dead. We're so free in this nation. I'm not complaining about it. I'm glad that we're free. But with freedom comes responsibility. Amen. You've heard about the monkey trap, a cage containing a banana with a hole large enough for a monkey's hand to fit in, but not large enough for a monkey's fist to come out in clutching a banana. And the monkey traps are used to catch monkeys that lack the intellect to let go of the banana and run away. They'll stay there for hours until they're caught because they don't want to give up what they got a hold of. Man, that's a picture so much of Christians, a lot of Christians today, that want their cake and eat it too. They don't want to die or discipline themselves. They want to stay with the sin of choice. And it's slowly killing them. All they have to do is give that up and life is theirs. Come on, somebody. These things will hinder and harm our relationship with others and ultimately God. Number one, he talks about anger. Man, if there was ever a time, listen, that we have a right to be angry, it's now. We have a right to be angry with what's going on in the world. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. We ought to turn our anger to intercessory prayer and fasting. Come on, somebody. We ought to turn our anger to the enemy who has really blinded the eyes of millions of people right now. There's millions of people in our nation that are blinded to very base information. Life begins at birth, but there's half the United States, half the adults in the United States do not believe that and are okay with killing babies. Come on, somebody. We have a right to be angry, but the Bible says not to get rid of anger. Anger that says things that ought not to be said, even in our minds when we say things about people. We've got to get a hold of anger and understand that you and I, before we came to Christ, were a mess. People that are not Christian are a mess. When we release anger, we release the power of the enemy, not the power of God. Frederick Buchner, who wrote a book called Wishful Thinking, Transformed by Thorns, and he says this, and I quote, "Of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontation still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are going to give back, in many ways it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you." Anger hurts no one but us. Come on, somebody. And it hurts our relationship with God. So Paul says to put to death these things, or put off these things. Same thing. Secondly, wrath, rage, anger out of control. Here's a clue. When you reach the boiling point, turn the fire off. Don't let yourself get there. We should never be in a place where we can't control our emotions. When we're out of control with our emotions, there's only one person that's controlling it, and that's the enemy. Are you there? That's one of the hardest things for me to have gotten over. My wife, thank God, Terry has been such a blessing. She says hello, by the way. She's on her way back just in a few minutes from her mom's in Erie. She's over there visiting her mother this weekend, so she said to say hi. So if she asked you if I said to say hi, Terry said to say hi. But she's helped me because, man, I am quick to anger. I just could fly off the handle so easy. Well, I used to. In Jesus' name, I used to fly off the handle. But how many know that's not going to bring anything but harm to ourselves, and we harm others? Thirdly, he talks about malice. That's a desire to injure, and that's depravity. And I've heard Christians, good-meaning Christians, especially out there on social media, man, we ought to hurt these people. Listen, nobody deserves to be hurt. Are you there? Come on, somebody. I understand about defending yourself. I'm not talking about that, but just wishing ill things on people. I mean, no, that's not in the kingdom of God. Jesus said to love our enemies. Do good that spite those who spitefully use you. And then he talks about blasphemy, slandering, speaking against another's good name. We think blasphemy is just with God, but we blaspheme people when we don't really know them and lump them together and speak those things. We ought not to do those things. And then, of course, filthy language. Not much needs to be said about that. None of us really use filthy language, right? We're all okay with that. Quiet in here. This is not selective obedience we're talking about here. This passage is very, this is a command that we put to death these things. And to top it all off, we're not supposed to lie to one another. In fact, lying is forbidden. Truth Truth is the eternal gift that's given to us. It is how we succeed. To deny truth is to lie. And to take no action against this is taking an action. How we treat one another is really the real test. Come on, someone. How we treat one another is a real test. And I can't tell you the number of people that have walked away in my life as a pastor. People just walk away and never talk to you again. I still don't get that. But it's become so commonplace, everybody just like, oh, well, yeah, that's just the way it is. How many know? God's called us to love one another, honor one another. Bear with me while we look at a couple of scriptures. Mark chapter 9. Mark 9 in your Bibles. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 9. Mark 9:50 says, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Listen, we won't always agree, but we will always be related. There is no divorce in the body of Christ. We live in a society that, you know, you divorce somebody and you split up your goods and you move over to that side of town, I move over on this side of the town. And let me know when you're going to be at Kroger's and I won't be there. Come on, someone. There is no divorce in the body of Christ. We may not like each other and go to separate churches, but then we get to heaven, we're going to be together for an eternity. There's no divorcing, there's no walking away. We're supposed to be as one. We ask sometimes, why hasn't the revival come? One of the reasons why revival's not coming is we're still at war with one another. John chapter 13, verse 34. Turn over there. John 13, 34. I love what it says. John 13, 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. What? A new commandment I give to you. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We are to love as he loves us. How many know that's a high calling? Sometimes I'm amazed that God still loves me at the stupid things I do. But he still loves me. Never says, you know what, I just need some time away. Come on, God never says, you know, could you just give me a break for, just go away for a half an hour or so. I can't deal with you right now. He's always there. And we're to love one another just as he loves us. I told the story about one of my friends years ago. I was a younger man, wore a younger man's clothes. I was driving down the road complaining, and this friend of mine said, stop it. Just shut your mouth. I'm tired of hearing you complain. Man, you got a beautiful wife, beautiful kids. What are you complaining about? Shut your mouth. So I said, pull this car over. He pulled the car over, and I got out, and I said, get out of that car. I'll knock your head right off that shoulder. He came around the car and stood there. He said, you can hit me and knock me down. When I get up, I'm going to still say the same thing. Come on, somebody. Love that conquers that kind of stuff. And in Romans 12 and verse 10, Romans 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, Romans 12, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Be of the same mind, verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. How many friendships have been broken just for the sake of being right? Can I just tell you a secret? I always, if I get, because I love to not argue, but I like to get into discussions. But here's what I think. If it has no effect on eternity, I'm not going to get offended. Come on, somebody. You don't think it's prevalent. The early church was broken up. One of the most severe breakups in the early church is they argued how many angels could sit on the head of a pin. It absolutely devastated the church. Come on, somebody. True story. Fourth century. So we're not supposed to argue to that point. Be kind and affectionate, preferring one another. Have the same mind. I have your back. We may agree, we may disagree, but I love you. I'm committed because I want to get used to you now so you're not my next door neighbor in heaven. Come on, Pete. Come on, somebody. Romans 15:5 says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. And then lastly, Ephesians 5:21, moving ahead quickly, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Boy, is that tough. Come on, somebody. That verse right there will increase your prayer life. Because sometimes I don't feel like submitting to. Come on, how many are with me? I'm not going to submit to that. That means I'm willing to serve you and put your interests in front of mine. Man, that thing rubs the wrong way. It's like petting a cat backwards. It will cause some flesh to come out. That's when you really know if you've got a handle on some of these things. Casting off anger and malice and strife and all of that. That's when you know. Because when somebody comes into your life that just rubs you the wrong way. And you're able to love them. Verse 10 says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You know, there are no cover up allowed. We're putting on after we put off. First, we need to put off before we put on. We attempt to act ourselves through life, but we've got to put off things. We can't just act like they're not there. And it may take some discipline in your life. It may take you chaining some of your things to the pole in the closet. Get away from it. If it angers you, if it causes wrong feelings in you, get rid of it. It may put it away for a while. Put on the new man. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. Paul says, you've put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Jesus, after the pattern of Christ. Walking in the Spirit, producing fruit, allowing the Holy Spirit continual access into our lives. We're renewed in knowledge. You're being made to look like, to talk like, and to act like Jesus. And there's where the victory begins to come. Man, when somebody shakes you and all that comes out is Jesus, you're walking in victory. And all of us that walk You know, I say I'm a little intimidated around people, but then I realize everyone is the same. Come on, somebody. They may use more brain capacity than me, but I've got connection with all the brains. There is no difference in God's kingdom. Paul said there's no Scythian, no free, no circumcised, no uncircumcised. But you know what? I've realized we have a caste system in the body of Christ. People are more favored than others. We actually have come to the conclusion that people that have more money in the bank are closer to God than people that do not. Come on, somebody. You say, well, that's not true. Come on. That's very true. That's very true. We get people that have a lot of money that have soaked others to get money, and then they hold seminars and tell everybody how rich they are, that they're close to God, that God comes and speaks to them, not for minutes a day, but hours a day, because they can afford to spend the time with God. And if you were a person of God, you were a people of God, you would be rich too, and God would come and speak with you hours a day. We've bought that lie in American Christianity. How far from the truth is that? There's no difference in God's kingdom. And we've got to get rid of the caste system. You have the same opportunity to hear from God as anyone. The example was set by Christ. He hung around common people. I was talking to Alan Bickle. Alan stayed at my house all week, and boy, that man can talk. Holy smoke. Come home for dinner, and there he'd be, talk till 11 or 12. It's like, it's midnight, man. I've got to get to bed. Where was I going with that thing? What was I going to say about that? Oh, he hung around common people. We were talking about Jesus hanging around prostitutes and tax collectors. How many know he'd be sitting there with a prostitute and a prostitute would go do her thing? Come on, somebody. And he'd be sitting there waiting when she come back. Telling her about the love of God. Why? Because everyone's the same. He died for her just like he died for me. But you know what? We live in a time where Christians are now under attack. A lot of the attack we brought on ourselves, but we're under attack. Our moral standards are seen as hate. Our integrity for the word is seen as no toleration. But you know what? We're still in the world. We can't get out of the world. We still got to live in the world. And we've got to take it on the chin. Some of it we've brought on ourselves. But right now, Christians are under attack. Soon and very soon, I believe Christians are going to be the sought-after ones, the true Christians people are going to be running to. I believe that with all my heart. You know why? Because we are His children. Amen. Not only we are His children, we are His representatives. As I said a few weeks ago, without God, we cannot. Without us, He will not. Without God, we cannot. Without us, He will not. He's going to use us. We're His representatives. Not only are we His representatives, but we are His ambassadors. We speak only what He wants us to speak. Come on, somebody. Our opinions don't mean a hill of beans to heaven or the people we're speaking with. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple. It doesn't matter what we think. It matters what the Word of God says. Well, I think that person deserves to die. Who are you? Who are you to bring judgment on somebody of death? We carry His authority. Do you know when you speak, it's like Christ speaking? Oh, that's too... Oh, man, come on. That's, where is that in the Word? Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, come on. Power of attorney. We carry his authority. Our hindrances begin with us. We've got to get past all of that doubt and unbelief and speak. If you think the devil can defeat you, he can. If you think the devil can beat you, he'll beat you. If you think that someone is superior to you, they are. If you think you are loved less than someone else, you're not. God loves you just as much as he loves anyone else. No one has more favor with him. They may have learned how to access the favor, but they're not more favored. The same power is available to us all. If you really think God does not love you like others, you need to get free. Amen. You need to get free. If there's something in you that says, you know what? I don't really believe God loves me like he loves other people. I've done too much. I've been too much on the outside. I've not drawn and kept stuck in the line. God, number one, God has forgiveness to you. And number two, God wants to accelerate and move you ahead. Here's what I know. The Word of God says, he who began, somebody say, began a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Christ. All you have to do is yield to that. He does the rest. He's not going to hogtie you. Nothing is impossible for him. He doesn't love somebody else more than he loves you. Father, God, thank you for the challenge in your word. Thank you for this passage in Colossians that challenges us to take a look deep within. Some of us have been walking with you for years, God, and we've put different titles on things. We call anger our rights, and we call malice our divine right as a U.S. citizen. We make excuses for things, God. Lord, this is a day where we confess our excuses before you. God, we want complete and total alignment with your Spirit. We don't want anything to hinder your power in us. And Lord, we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth. So Lord, as we line up to your will, Father, work your fullness through us. And we won't ever forget to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.